As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And I'd like to welcome you to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host. This is the weekly podcast where you'll hear from the most interesting people in the Ville. Also about some of those people. I'm up to 150 or so people from that have had an impact or somehow got my attention and have been guests on this show. So this week, got another couple of great guests. But first, I want to tell you, follow-up from last week, you heard from Lenny Mello, who is helping me with my golf fitness. I've gone to two sessions now over there, and Lenny's got me waking up some muscles, I guess. You know, I don't know if you want to try this, but, you know, if you can't flex your glute, your butt muscles sitting down, Lenny's got to help you rediscover those muscles. It's really been an outstanding thing. He had a great video, did a piece with Business First that you might check out online. Shows Lenny in action doing his thing. So, anyway, I just went to my latest session. I'm all set up. I'm very excited about what's going to happen fit-wise for golf. Maybe there's a possibility that this week on Saturday is supposed to be in the 50s. I might go out and try to play something. You never know. Playing golf in January is quite a benefit or quite a unusual thing to be able to do here in Louisville, Kentucky. Because it was 27 this morning when I got up. So, anyway, I also want to tell you about a new relationship the Rusty Satellite Show has with Louie's Restaurant. It's one of my favorite places to go. One of the owners there, Mike Spurlock, is he brings a lot of music, and he brings it's authentic Detroit style pizza, and it's really good. It's really, really good, and they have a room in the back. I had Paula's 40th anniversary party there, a little 40th anniversary, her 50th birthday party. Nice try. Her 50th birthday party is a surprise party I had in their private room in the back. And this week I'm going to have a graduation party there for my son, Josh, who just recently got his degree, his master's degree from the University of Louisville. So anyway, you'll be hearing more about Louie's in the weeks to come. So what's on this week's show? It's a very exciting show. I tell you, my good friend Aaron Jones recommended I talk to Emily McKay, who is the diaper fairy, if you can believe it. She is going to be my first guest. Really enjoyed. She's got a place right down there in the Highlands on Bardstown Road, right next to the Bardstown, if you know. And I'm out of the baby diapering business these days, but she's got a fascinating business story that I think will be of interest to you, even if you don't have little kids in diapers. running around your house. So anyway, that's the second, the first interview. The second half of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about media with good friend Stephen George, who I last saw last summer when I had Congressman John Yarmuth on the show. He was working for him then. Stephen is is a well-known journalist in this town and has returned. He is the now new news editor at Insider Louisville, and you'll really enjoy, I think, our conversation. We met at a Heine Brothers and talked about media and his journey, and it's all good. Very glad to have Stephen back in Louisville and reporting on business for Insider Louisville. And so let's get right to it. I want to tell you that the place at the diaper ferry, this little cottage that Emily McKay has, is just great. I tell you, I went in the middle of the afternoon. I was surprised there were several customers walking around, and it just seems to be a thriving business, and it has a green message for if I were having babies, I think I'd consider using this service. It's not that expensive, and again, I'm not interested in diapers so much, but in the way the business operates and the way Emily has grown her business. So here's my interview with Emily McKay. Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at a place that has been through a million diapers, if you can believe it, right? Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
And I'm always interested in talking to entrepreneurs, and certainly this is a fascinating business. Tell me a little bit about the diaper ferry.
Sure. So I do wear wings in public, wings in a sparkly green dress. So I have lots of 3 and 4 year old fans. But basically, the reason that I have my business is I'm a Louisville girl, and I was living in St. Louis for about 6 years, and my daughter was born while we lived there, and I used a diaper service, and I chose cloth diapers, and this was back before it was even more mainstream than it is now. So I was kind of a pioneer back in the mid-2000s. But we had a commitment to doing a green lifestyle with our daughter, and I was concerned about the landfill waste that was going to be used with that if we were to use disposables. So my husband and I both worked out at home full time, and a diaper service was great for us because I was going to change the diaper either way.
Okay.
Instead of putting it in the trash can, I just put it in a bag that went on the front porch, and somebody came by and whisked it away and left me a bag of cleans. And so when my friends said I was crazy, I always joked and said, well, the diaper fairy just visits my house. So we moved back in 2009, and my daughter was out of diapers by then. But you become a natural advocate when you realize that it's not really any more difficult than a disposable, especially when you use a service.
Okay.
So I'm talking to friends who are pregnant, and they say, I would probably consider cloth diapers, but I don't want to do the washing. And I said, well, you don't have to. You can choose a service. And they said, there's no service. And I'm like, there's no service.
How could there not be a service?
Right. So, yeah, for a city like Louisville that is progressive and supports kind of an ecological mindset and tends to be consider themselves progressive, I figured this was probably something coming down the pike. So I took about 6 months, and I created a business plan and figured out how to handle the washing. So I've always outsourced, for example. I've always had a contract with a medical laundry facility. But outside of that tiny little medical laundry facility contract, I had my minivan and I had my dining room table and a set of shelves.
Wow. Wow.
So,
Well, that's really something. Of course, as you know, I'm a dozen years removed from diapers and all that. So I had no idea things had changed so much in the industry. I saw downstairs in your little display area down there. It's not white diapers in a big Pampers bag anymore.
Sure, it's not. And it is. I joke that about 70% of my job is still education and just letting people know that the myths that they probably have about cloth diapers are not accurate anymore.
Okay.
There are no plastic pants. There's no safety pins. There's no swishing things in a commode. And the rivalry of
swishing things
no,
in a commode.
No, because that's,
I don't think I ever did.
Well, some people are familiar with that and kind of have that, that association with what traditional cloth diapers have been. But I think the convenience now rivals disposables in the fact that there aren't these kind of antiquated features like plastic pants and pins. And there is, you know, Velcro and snap and cute patterns. And I also think it helps because the parents having babies today don't really remember pins and plastic pants for the most part. So there's not this negative connotation. So they're open-minded to the modern systems. And then when we give demos and when we teach our classes, people recognize that it's something that's completely approachable.
Okay. Well, I guess the assumption that I'll let you refute is it must cost a lot more.
No, actually it doesn't. And that's something that people are always surprised. I mean, frankly, I haven't raised my prices in a couple of years, but you know, when people are like, that's all it costs? So prices for a newborn family having one baby usually range between $22 and $25 a week. And when you consider if you're going to pay for Pampers, for example, that's right where it would be. And then in addition to having the service come to your home, not having any investment, not having any of the dirty work, you get the additional benefits of cloth diapers for the same amount of money per week. So I usually tell people that are looking into cloth diapers that they can expect better skin quality for their baby, lower rash rates, not only are you doing the best thing for the earth, you'll probably be doing a better thing for your wallet, even if you pay for a service, because you're likely to change fewer diapers over time. Kids with disposables potty train about a year longer, a year later than kids in cloth diapers. Yeah, so you can change fewer diapers, which is always a nice benefit.
I would have done anything to push that thing. The best day was the last bunch of Pampers I bought.
Yeah, nobody really loves the world of diapers, so it's kind of funny that here I am, you know, kind of living in that world way past my time, because my daughter is now 9 and way out of diapers as well.
Well, where's the next one? Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea. Where's the next
child? Well, you know, actually, you were sitting in my baby, which is our store. So, I mean, last year, or kind of about heading toward a year and a half ago, expanded into a full brick and mortar natural parenting boutique with way more than cloth diapers. So I joke that is my new baby, because it keeps me up at night just like another baby would keep another mom up at night.
Well, I'll tell our listeners that we're right here in the middle of the Highlands on Bardstown Road, next to the Bardstown bar facility, and it's an ideal location, I guess. And I guess a lot of your customers must be from right around here.
Absolutely. I mean, we pull from all over the city of Louisville. We have visitors from Lexington and Bowling Green, and people come in, but obviously my position in the Highlands, it really is nice for foot traffic. We're directly across from the original farmers market in the Highlands, so we get weekend traffic from that. I have a parking lot behind my building, which is great for new parents that don't want to park right on Bardstown Road. Right. And the nice thing is the front of the building actually features about a 600-square-foot patio that kids are constantly covering in chalk and bubbles during the summertime especially. So people are always kind of welcome to stop in. But the Highlands does naturally kind of find our clientele. We have a lot of young families and families that are usually seeking a more natural lifestyle, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very unique, I guess, unusual business. I know I read about an award you'd received. I'll let you talk about that. What happened there?
So not only was last year a banner year for us because we had reached a milestone of washing 1 million diapers, as well as having the fantastic year in the retail spot, but we also were a finalist for 3 years running with the Greater Louisville Inc. Small Business of the Year, and last year we won, and we were deemed the best greening and sustainability business of the year. So the environmental impact we're making for the city of Louisville is evident to more than just my community, which is honestly great validation from the business community, because you're right, it's a niche business. It's very unusual. People are always curious about what I do and don't usually understand it. So to have that validation from the business community, and the fact that we are, you know, a sustainable business as a entrepreneurship, but then also a sustainable business for our community and for the earth, is really something I'm really proud of.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about the eco-friendly part of what you're doing here.
Sure.
And I guess you can quantify what you're doing for the community by eliminating Pampers.
Absolutely. I tell people I remind people that the top three contributors to landfill waste are food and beverage containers, newspapers and junk mail, and disposable diapers. So if you are recycling those first two, and you're a new parent, this is basically the next step on your recycling plan. You can probably cut about half of your trash output as a new family when you take disposable diapers away from your curb. And we know that those diapers that are going into a landfill take about 500 years to decompose. And we've only been using cloth diaper or disposable diapers for about 40 years. So when you consider that every disposable diaper worn by every person on this earth is sitting somewhere in a landfill, I mean, this is a way that you can truly reduce your trash output, your carbon footprint, and be a steward for the earth and for our whole community.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a little bit about you because, you know, people always wonder how does somebody end up at a certain spot. You grew up here in Fern Creek, right?
Yep, grew up in Fern Creek and then moved to the Highlands after college. I've done a variety of things. I've always been an environmentalist. I've worked in nonprofit organizations. Took the time after working in nonprofit to go into sales, and I really feel like I worked for another small business owner that took me under his wing and taught me a little bit of management, a little bit of financial forecasting, learning how to manage clients, learning how to, you know, run a sales territory. And all of that actually is so transferable, and you don't really recognize it at the time. I mean, I never really saw that coming out of college, I was like, I'm going to open up a cloth diaper delivery service that's modern for our city.
I don't think there's a major in that.
No, there's not.
But what was your major? I mean, and you went to what, Center, right?
I went to Center College. So I was, educated in Kentucky fully. And I was a double major in government and in religion. So I saw my path in nonprofit environmentalism and ended up transitioning into something that ended up being more of a for-profit business model.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's certainly great and thriving. And how do you manage, I'm sure all these people come in, these young families, and they're managing jobs and kids and and diapers.
Right.
How do you handle that yourself with your business?
That's a great question. And I will tell you, having been now an entrepreneur for about heading into my sixth year, about halfway through, I really came upon the realization that as long as I was my own employee, I couldn't grow my business. And so I buy into the mindset that if you work in your business, it's harder to work on your business. And so I try to hire really reliable, informed help. Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by a team of fairies. But I'm surrounded by women who make this entire business possible because I have delegated as much as I can.
Okay.
And when I delegate a job that can be done by someone and be done by somebody well, it allows me to put on my plate the things that can't be done by anybody else or that I love to do so that I keep my passion and I continue to grow and I continue to work on my business. My role is to be the face of this business and to be out with networking and to be out with events that can bring people into our store and allow other people to help them. So I delegate. I work on my business and not in my business, and I try to stay very focused. I mean, I keep business meetings with myself. I keep a journal with myself on the things that I write down my goals, and I try to make it a priority to host time with myself and to host business meetings with myself.
Wow. Well, it's very impressive. I'm really glad I got to come down here and meet you and talk to you. And
thank you.
Tell our audience how they can find you, I guess. Online, right?
Yep, you can find me online. We do have a website. It's www.diaperfairy.net. And then, of course, we have our brick-and-mortar retail store in the Highlands. Like you mentioned, we're just south of the intersection with Speed Avenue, so about a half mile south of Eastern Parkway on Barstown Road. And our boutique not only is kind of the home for our cloth diaper delivery service, but we carry baby carriers, mama and baby care gifts, diaper bags, swaddling blankets, toys, books, a whole range
of
things.
All that stuff that I'm glad I don't ever have to buy.
All the glittery goodness outside of cloth diapers now. So we seek to be a full resource, and we have classes, events for all of our families to kind of provide education and support for them in a community too.
Great. All right, well, we're out of time, but thanks for being on the show, Emily.
Thank you so much for featuring me. Appreciate it.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Thank you very much, Emily, for welcoming me in over there. It's a great, great place. I almost, no, slap my mouth. I don't want to have a baby, but if I did, I think I'd use cloth diapers and go check out Emily's business. So anyway, let's move on with the show. This is a fun part of the show. I always talk about some of the interesting people and news items that are going on. And, you know, I really don't like to talk about people's misfortunes so much. But let's be honest, it's interesting. It's what people want to talk about. It's why entertainment news and gossip is so popular. In our dear city, we have a Metro Councilman who has just gone through a lot of difficulties in the last year. I tell you, Dan Johnson, if you know about him, God, he's been in government for such a long time. He you know, the Metro Council members, they make over $40,000 a year. Yet Johnson is in trouble with Gus Goldsmith on a loan that he owes him money. And now it just came out this week that his home on in Kenwood Drive, it's where I grew up. It's up there in the South End. Is his mortgage company is filed a foreclosure action against Dan. Johnson responded in a story on WDRB that the house is up for sale, expected to be sold to settle the debt. But really, how much negative publicity can one guy take? It's just like, I can't believe, you know, this happens to people all the time, but this is an elected official who won last fall a re-election he just had no competition. I tell you, if you were wanted to be on the Metro Council, the first thing you should do tomorrow is move to the South. Help buy Dan's house and run for office in 3 years, and you know, you're likely to you know, you certainly I think Dan's already announced he's not going to run again. So but a lot of misfortune. Johnson's monthly payments of $960 for 20 years. He's got a 20-year mortgage. Apparently, according to the story, I don't think he's paid made a mortgage payment since last April. So he owes Gus Goldsmith. Updated his lawsuit. Says the councilman owes him $11,000. So you wonder how somebody like that is going to get out of their personal problems, and much less, you know, as an elected official, the member the Metro Council, you know, certainly he's not going to be able to be very effective in that post. So, anyway, bad news for old Dan Johnson. Also, continuing on people that are just irritating in the news and getting in trouble, did you see that the male high school principal, David Mike, who was fired? I mean, how hard is it to fire somebody from JCPS? I think we're about to find out. Mike was fired from his post as principal at male high school. He appealed it. They had this sort of three-person tribunal, like a three-day trial last month, in which they upheld his firing, and now he has gone to Jefferson Circuit Court asking a judge to reverse the decision that affirmed his termination. David, go get a job. You know, it's time to give up on this and quit using taxpayer money. You know, taxpayers have to respond to these suits. Legal fees, I'm sure, are high with this, but David Mike, you know, he refuses to accept his termination. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen next, but, you know, it's time. He made, you know, for a long time after he was terminated, he was still collecting his salary. He made $141,000 a year at Mail as the principal. And so now he's asking, you know, a court to basically give him his job back, pay him some money and all that. So I don't know. You know, the evidence was reported in the media was pretty clear that he had been guilty of what's called conduct unbecoming a teacher, and it had to do with some accusations that kids were helped on their ACT tests, and which calls into question the integrity of the integrity of the whole system. So it's a very serious deal. And while we're talking about interesting people in the Ville, good and bad, I've got one good one here. Did you see that Katie George, a star on the University of Louisville women's volleyball team, won the Miss Kentucky pageant last weekend, which is really it's an amazing story, not just that someone you wouldn't expect wins Miss Kentucky, but if you follow, if you know anything about pageants, you know there are people who are pageant junkies that spend years and years trying to become to win these crowns, to win these titles of various titles. Miss Kentucky, there's Miss America, Miss USA. The pageants are a big business. There's a movie. There's been movies about it. That one with Sandra Bullock. Can't remember the name of that. But a lot of information out there about beauty pageants. Well, Katie, apparently, according to the media stories about this, this was her first pageant. She'd never been in one before, and suddenly she wins. She wins on her first try to become the new Miss Kentucky. And you know, it's just a great little story. I met Katie through my work, and certainly I've reached out to her. I'd like to get her here on the Rusty Satellite Show. We'll see if that happens. I'm just not sure yet, but we're hopeful. And one other person in the news, not really in the news, but I want to tell you about. As many of you know, I'm one of the hosts of an event every 2 months at the University Club called the Breakfast of Champions. And this Monday we had Joe Steyer, the CEO of Signature Healthcare, was our guest speaker. And I tell you, other than speaking really fast, Joe has some great ideas. He's a wonderful speaker and is really involved in a lot of things. He brought Signature Healthcare, this big company with something like 18,000 employees. He brought them from Florida to his hometown of Louisville 4 years ago. And it's one of the stars. If you were to talk about who are the stars in this city in business and economic development, Joe Steyer is right at the top of the list. So I'm trying to get Joe on the show as well, likely to have him next week if all things work out. So just another person that if you're following things in Louisville, you should really know about. One other thing I did, I went to the Actors Theater this week. Saw this play called The Brother's Size. And it's a really unusual play in a very small, the very small Bingham Theater there at Actors. Features, there's only four cast members, three African-American men, and there's nothing on the stage. There's not a lot of props or anything like that. And it's about, I guess their culture of one is a hardworking owner of a business, a body shop, and his brother is returning home from prison and trying to get back on his feet and is influenced by, in one way he wants to get back in the legitimate world, do some hard work, and another way he is influenced to go out and have fun and do all the things that got him in jail in the first place, I guess. But it's called The Brother's Size. It's playing through February 1st at Actors. I would encourage you. I would recommend it. If don't take your kids. It's there's some rough language of the street. Anybody that's overly sensitive, I would not recommend that too. But very interesting act. I went with Paula the other night at the press night and really enjoyed it. I have a short review of the play on LouisvilleKY.com if you want to go over there and check that out. Okay, so a lot of times we talk about what's new in the world. I guess one story that affected me I want to talk about for just a minute was the closing. They announced, Todd Brashear announced he was going to close Wild and Woolly Video, which is, basically, I guess, one of the last pure video stores in the city. It's, it made it a long time, basically with an eclectic mix of movies and stuff. My question is, how did this place stay open for so long? It's really amazing with all the different options. The idea that, we can all remember in the 90s, there's Blockbuster video stores on every corner. But, the technology sort of took care of that business. People don't go and rent movies anymore. Some people buy them, but most people, like me, I see anything I can want to see on demand on cable, or I can use Amazon Prime and watch things on my little Kindle and all that. And just I just can't remember the last time I got a DVD and put it in a machine and watched it. So. But still, it's sort of a landmark place. I compare it to, you know, like Ear Ecstasy a few years ago went out of business because, you know, basically the technology, all the good things that come with that, you know, some businesses just either can't adapt or can't keep up. And when their product becomes sort of obsolete. And I think that's what happened with Wild and Woolly. Well, that'll be one of those places in Louisville. You say, oh, I remember where that was. I was just in, like, I was in Honey Brothers with Steve and George yesterday, and they had that Wild and Woolly. They tried that box, you know, all the Honey Brothers. You could return your DVDs to their boxes and the pickup thing. It was a good idea. It's a great marketing idea. But I guess the days of video stores have come and gone, and that's the end of that. All right, well, let's get on to Steve and George. I want to talk just for a second about Insider Louisville. You know, I am a contributor to Insider Louisville. I write these health columns. I got a new one coming out this week on heart health, and really learning a lot doing these pieces. But Insider Louisville, of course, is undergoing some change. They're really growing fast, really affecting the idea of all the media operations in town, I think, are being affected by Insider Louisville. They're doing good reporting, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit with Steve and George. I do want to say that, you know, if you listen to this for a long time, I had Terry Boyd on the show a long time ago. He was basically the guy that came up with the idea of Insider Louisville. He and I were sort of competing when I was trying to make it in the blog world full time. But Terry, to his credit, grew this business and was the driving force behind it. I just got a note from him this week. He did, you know, for those people that are confused, I was talking to Steven about this. Terry's no longer with Insider Louisville. He sold the operation and stayed on for 6 months or so as a writer, but he hasn't been involved in it for some time now. And I hear his and a good friend of mine, his wife Cheryl, who has done marketing for Insider Louisville, she has just resigned her position. So I guess I just want to say credit to Terry Boyd, who along with Carrie Stembley, we made up a part of the staff of Business First back in the late 90s. And, you know, we were really doing some good work back then. And with Carrie now, the managing editor of Business First, and Terry started Insider Louisville, and he's moving on. And, you know, we just had some strong years there at Business First, and congratulations to Terry for making a success of Insider Louisville. And now let me tell you just a little bit about Stephen. Stephen was the top editor at Leo several years ago. I was the media critic there for a while. Stephen moved on to Nashville to work at a newspaper down there, and then he became Congressman John Yarmuth's aide, and you know, got to experience life in Washington D.C. and life in the I said, I wonder if it's like the, you know, the West Wing or House of Cards or all that. But I think, as you'll hear, Stephen got some great experiences there. But glad that he's come back to town. And Stephen has brought with him, he got married, he's got a child, he's got a dog, he's got a new house in the Highlands. Seems like things are going well. He's very excited about his new job. And I'll let you listen in, and we talk a little bit about the state of local media right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Here's my conversation with Steve and George. And I'm hanging out in a coffee shop today with Steve and George, who is the new news editor at Insider Louisville. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Glad to be here.
Welcome to town.
Thank you.
You, though, of course, most people know, have a long history here in journalism.
I do.
How different is Insider Louisville from what you were doing at Leo?
Well, it's a lot different. First of all, it's not in print, which is probably the biggest and most obvious difference.
The best thing.
Yeah. We're posting anywhere from, I think, 10 to 20 stories a day on Insider. Very fast-paced, mostly covering business and economic development. Some hard news with Joseph Sanka's covering government now. And then, of course, arts and entertainment. And Sarah Havens recently came on board from Leo.
You got the whole Leo staff.
We have some Leo alums over there for sure. And it's really great. I think it's the most exciting thing happening in media right now in Louisville, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I get to chip in something every once in a while over there, so I agree with you. But let's talk about what you've been doing the last couple of years, because you've been really busy. Well, the last time I saw you, we were doing a Rusty Satellite Show with Congressman John Yarmuth.
Uh-huh.
You worked for him for the last couple of years. Tell me what that was like.
Sure. For the last 3 years, I served as Congressman Yarmuth's communications director. So I worked with him on crafting his message and delivering it. Worked with media, some of my friends in the media. Was fortunate enough to be involved in advising on some policy decisions as well. So it was a really great experience. I covered government and politics a lot in my previous life as a reporter and an editor, and I got an opportunity to see government work from the inside, and I decided to take it. So I spent the last 3 years in Washington and working in the most dysfunctional Congress ever.
Well, I'm sure it's...
And now I'm back covering business.
It's just like it is on all the TV shows, right? The hustle and bustle. I mean, you must have had some great experiences there. I mean, did you go to the White House and stuff?
I did. It was a wonderful experience. And I couldn't have asked for a better boss, Congressman Yarmuth. I think whether you agree with his politics and his ideas or not, most people would agree he does it the right way. His approach to the job is honest, and he's very forthright, and he's very thoughtful, and he's considerate, and it was a real honor to work for him and a pleasure, and I learned a lot,
Because you had worked for him at Leo.
Technically, I worked for him at Leo for a week. My first story at Leo ran the week that he announced the paper. He was selling the paper. So, I sort of worked for him.
All right. Well, let's fill our listeners in on another part. When you left here... You went to Nashville about 5 years ago, and now you're moving back to Louisville, and you picked up some baggage along the way, right?
You say it like it's so bad. I spent a couple years in Nashville. I was an editor of the Nashville City Paper, which was an online daily that competed with the Gannettone Daily, the Tennessean, there in Nashville, and a print. It had a weekly print component. It was like a sort of like a localized Newsweek or Time magazine, a little bit of a variety publication. And I did that. I also, during that period, was news editor at the Nashville Scene, and so I was writing about economic development and city politics as well. I also, while I was there, I met my wife, Erin, and she recently gave birth to our daughter, Lucy, who is about 2 months old. And,
wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, it seemed like a really good time to come back to Louisville, and I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to go work at Insider with some of my old colleagues and friends.
Yeah. Well, so as someone who's lived here, moved away, and come back, any big changes that you didn't expect? You've been in town, you moved like a week or so ago, right?
Yeah, almost 3 weeks ago. I was just recently telling someone, actually, that, I used to go out to restaurants here in town, and I would always recognize at least one person, and now I go to a restaurant and I think, who are all these people? I don't know anybody here. The city has continued. Well, it's really interesting to have covered the city closely like I did, and kind of obsessively, then look at it from afar. I really wanted to come back, and I've been really intrigued by what's been happening here. I think Louisville has continued to grow and continue to assert itself and develop a really strong identity. It's a really exciting place to be. So,
well, from a media point of view, what kind of things are you excited about covering? Specifically the stories that are coming down the line in 2015.
Sure. The first thing I wrote about for Insider last week when I started was the SEC investigating a firm with some heavy local ties, and I was writing about the Omni deal, the $289 million hotel deal. It's going to be the
is that really going to happen?
Newest skyscraper? Yeah, I mean, I think it's really going to happen. I think it's an interesting and kind of weird deal for a lot of reasons. I wrote about this on Insider. It really prohibits the city from doing any other big projects like that for about a decade, and it requires the city to kind of do marketing on Omni's behalf when conventions come to town, and there are some elements of the deal that are a little bit unusual, but I think also that suggests that the Fisher administration is all in. I mean, they really want this. They're paying half of it with taxpayer money through a TIF. So,
and of course, those of us who have been here a while know sort of the tainted reputation in some circles that Cordish has, and Cordish's involvement in this has stirred up some controversy this week, right?
Well, they were involved.
Right.
The city paid $5.25 million to get them out of the project because Cordish and Omni couldn't agree on some of the particulars. I think it's probably better that Cordish is not involved, not because of any reputation or anything like that, just because it's weird to have to have a major a developer like Cordish and the hotel company Omni, you know, working on the same project. I mean, there would have been some serious conflict there, I think. So it's probably good to just have one developer doing it. But again, I mean, you know, and this is one of the things Insider's gotten really good at over the past couple of years, and what we're trying to do is get people to think about it, think about these big deals, and kind of ask the questions that that people aren't asking about them. What happens if the city's financing scheme fails the way it did, or the way it appears to be on the Yum Center, for example?
I was just going to say you were here when, and I remember Leo doing probably the best work on the skeptical side of the Yum Center, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it got built anyway. It got built on what a lot of people think were the wrong site.
Yeah.
And cost us a lot more money. And, you know, I guess the jury's still out on whether it's going to be a financial success for the city.
Well, I mean, it's going to be decades before we see whether it fully pays off, but it's already so far behind. The General Assembly shrunk the TIF there, so it's not as encompassing as it was. I think there are a lot of problems with the way that deal went down, and hopefully we'll learn something from it. One of the things that the mayor said he learned from it, and I thought this was pretty interesting, was when we do TIFs, tax increment financing, which is essentially taking a portion of taxes generated on a new plot, on a redeveloped or new developed plot of land, and giving it back to the developer as a sort of rebate. One of the things Mayor Fisher said they learned from doing that gigantic Yum Center TIF is that they should do smaller TIFs. It's not that the mechanism itself is not damaged or flawed. It's the sort of size of them. So you've got with Omni a TIF that's confined only to the space where that hotel is going to be. So that's interesting too, because I mean, is this hotel going to generate they think it's going to bring back $187 million over 30 years. I think that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay, so you're a week on the job. You're already immersed in all the stuff about the things that are going on here in town. what's going on with media in Louisville?
You know, I mean, I know a lot of people I know focused on what Insider's doing a lot, but there's a lot of changes going on.
You know, it's having lived in I rely on my experience in Nashville a lot because it's very similar to Louisville in a lot of ways. I think Louisville has a much richer media environment than Nashville does and a much more competitive media environment. You know, you've had the investments that everybody knows about at WFPL that are yielding some results now with the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting. Obviously, Insider has continued to grow and expand significantly. I mean, what Sarah Kelly has been, my boss, Sarah Kelly, has been doing there in terms of expanding the scope and doing, you know, hard-hitting journalism and hiring people to do it and paying them to do it is unfortunately kind of revolutionary for online media right now in a market our size. You know, business first is staying competitive. Our old friend Kerry Stemley is managing editor over there now. I think he's given a new jolt of energy to them, and they're we're obviously closely watching what they're doing. I think they watch us pretty closely too, although they might not admit it. And yeah, which is natural. There's a lot happening, and then obviously I don't want to leave out the Courier. I mean, that, you know, having been in other places where there are Gannett-owned dailies. You know, the Courier has held on to some really great reporters and editors. I mean, they've obviously let a lot of them go, but,
yeah.
You know, guys like Andy Wilson and Joe Girth and Debbie Yetter, Pam Platt, I mean, these people have been here for a long time, and they've done incredible work, and they continue to. So, Jim Carroll, I got to give a shout-out to my buddy Jim Carroll in D.C. So, you know, these guys have done great work, and I think they're, you know, there's a lot that's changing around them, but it says a lot that they continue to kind of keep their head down and do good work.
Well, Stephen, time flies, and you know how that goes.
Goodness.
Sure glad
that
to have you back in the media world and back in Louisville.
Thank you.
And there you have it. Another Rusty Satellite Show concludes. Thank you to Emily McKay of the Diaper Fairy for talking with me. It was a lot of fun going down there. And to Stephen George, great to catch up with Stephen. We had a lot to talk about there. So 12 minutes sometimes seems very, very short amount of time to do these interviews. But next week I'll be back with a couple of got some great things lined up. I'm hoping they'll work out and give you something even more interesting to listen to. I hope you're getting into the habit of listening to the Rusty Satellite Show every week. You can catch it on iTunes. It's on Stitcher Radio. There's all sorts of ways to listen to it. Put it on your phone. Get it in your car. Listen while you're driving around. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks again to Louie Louis for coming on board, and to my regular sponsor, Passport Health Plan. And also a big thanks to my producer, Dan Vonderhyde. As we move forward on the Rusty Satellite Show, I'll be back next week with another great show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.